Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
And we're back. Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Today, we're going to talk again about habits. Several weeks ago, we put out an episode about creating high efficiency habits, and I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Today, we're going to talk about something called a keystone habit. Mm-hmm. So all of us want eventually to be full of very high-powered, high-efficiency habits that just become a part of who we are. And what we see often is when someone's really motivated to make a change in their lives, they want to go from 0 to 100 within a couple days, right? They want, you know, maybe they haven't been exercising, haven't been eating correctly. Maybe there's dysfunction in their relationship and they get really motivated to make this change, oftentimes after something really painful, and they just want to do everything at once. And one thing that we are just so gung-ho about at Working Against Gravity is the idea of building integrity with yourself. So integrity means doing what you say when you say you're going to do it. And it's easy to see that in relationship to others. Like if you say you're going to meet someone at a certain time, having integrity means showing up before or on time for that meeting. And a lot of us have really poor integrity with ourselves. We say that we're going to change our diets and we maintain it for a week and then we fall off. Or we say we're going to wake up early and we do it for a couple days and then life happens and we snooze. Mm-hmm. And we have really poor integrity with ourselves, often in at least one area of our lives.
It's just easier to let yourself down as compared to letting someone else down for most people.
And the way that this happens a lot of times, we never plan to let ourselves down, but the way that we continue to do this is often we bite off more than we can chew and we try to implement too many things all at once. We talked about habit gravity on the last habits episode. And in habit gravity, the first few days are really easy, but then after that, it takes a lot of energy and attention just to implement one new habit. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that with five new things, eventually your willpower is probably going to fail you and you're going to slip on one or more of those. And when that happens, we tend to say F it. Right?
Yeah.
I've never censored myself on a podcast before. It felt very awkward, but we just say F it and we go back to our old ways of doing things.
You can say screw.
Got it. I don't get any of it, but it's okay. Some people get offended. So the antidote to that is starting off small enough to build confidence in your ability to honor your commitments to yourself, which in turn will create this integrity with yourself that you do what you say you're going to do for you.
And what we're talking about today is how to pick a habit specifically that's what we call a keystone habit. And that makes all other habits easier. So it's picking the one habit that if implemented and committed to is going to have a ripple effect across so many different areas of your life. So a lot of times I will see people start a commitment and let's say I'll use the example of nutrition. Someone wants to improve their nutrition to improve their performance in the gym. And the first thing they start doing is like getting a bunch of supplements. I'm going to start taking creatine. I'm going to start taking L-carnitine. I'm going to start taking all these different things, but pre-workout, post-workout, like all these supplements that I'm going to buy, and that's going to optimize my performance while my diet is really low quality food. I'm sometimes eating a lot, sometimes not eating at all, and my sleep is terrible, all that kind of stuff. So picking supplements as your first habit is not going to be the keystone habit. The keystone habit is going to be the one, the more closer to the base of the pyramid, where supplements are going to be at the top of the pyramid that will help once you build a solid foundation. We want to pick the habits that are building that foundation of your fortress, mm-hmm. like this castle that you're building that is impossible to penetrate and impossible for it to crumble. And a solid foundation comes with picking keystone habits as the first ones that you implement before anything else.
Yeah, some people will call this the lead domino, right?
You call it. I think you and
I think I got that from Tim Ferriss.
Did you?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.
So the lead domino is like one of my favorite things ever. It's like that you have a lineup of dominoes and then you knock over that one domino and all the rest of them fall over. Such a great visual when you really think about mm-hmm. keystone habit.
And you just have such a powerful example of this in your life in the mm-hmm. past 6 months. You were in a place where you had a ton of motivation. You wanted to feel really confident in your body, and you would go through periods of being super consistent, and then you would go through periods of not being consistent at all. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a conversation with you about, okay, I have all of this motivation. What am I going to focus on? And I remember you asking yourself and us kind of exploring together, what are you doing when you're most confident in yourself? And what you came up with was this 30 minutes of movement per day. So tell us a little bit more about how this came about, and then I have some follow-up questions about your experience.
Cool. So, I mean, to go back a little bit, I went from a period of time in my life where I was a high-level athlete competing at a national level for multiple years to now running a business and just exercising, just to exercise, not to train for any particular competition. That transition didn't go smoothly, and it didn't go well. I really struggled. And in that transition, I had moments of like thinking that I could be the same way that I was when I was training as an athlete and not really accepting that for me at that time was exactly what you're talking about in terms of biting off more than you can chew. When I was competing at a national level, training 6 days a week for 3 to 4 hours a day and being 100% dialed in with my nutrition and super precise was easy for me. That wasn't biting off more than I could chew. When I'm just working and not training for any particular reason, that is biting off way more than I could chew. And it was super easy for me to just push things off and continue to see failure happen every day. Like mm-hmm. I planned to go to the gym and I didn't go. And most of it was because I don't want to go and like train for 3 hours because I just don't see the point. Mm-hmm. And then I would just want to go do a class, but it was too far. And then it was just easier and more comfortable to sit at the computer and do work. So I went through long periods of time with like not caring about my nutrition and not caring about working out and needing to find what is my new keystone habits. Like I'm in this new phase of my life and what are the new things that can help me build integrity with myself? Because I'm not in the same position as I was. Mm-hmm. And so going through that took me a lot of time. And then I watched you do a challenge. You were doing a challenge of no sugar for a year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when Michael does a challenge, I'm like, damn, can't let him pass me in turn. Like he can't make more progress than me. So I was like, what challenge can I do? And I had so much I was unhappy with my body. I didn't like the way my clothes were fitting. I was definitely approaching a stage where I was like, whoa, like things got to change for sure. Like I got to dial things in. Like
she's being a little bit crazy.
For me.
Because she still was a dime piece.
Yeah. But just for me, like I was feeling really down on myself. And I had a conversation with you and it was like, what is the one thing that I can commit to that is going to be nearly impossible for me to fail? And then that thing, will it make other – like what is the one habit that I can stick to that's also going to make all my other habits easier? So when I exercise – and not just exercise, when I move my body. So meaning I didn't just sit on the computer all day and do nothing or like – and just work and just watch TV or whatever. If I just move my body intentionally – for 30 minutes at least every single day and low barrier to entry, walk the dog, yoga, stretch, like whatever it is that is just like I declare I'm walking in the mall. Like this is my 30 minutes of movement. That automatically makes me want to eat better. It makes me like the way I look in the mirror better. It makes me less stressed. It makes me less anxious. It makes me a better wife. It makes me kinder. And it also set me up to win every day. Like mm-hmm. every day I was having a win. Getting 30 minutes of of movement in is a win.
Yeah.
And I, every human being on the planet wants to make progress in some capacity. And for me, making it easy to see progress and feel progress, which was 30 minutes of movement every day, was really easy for me. So that was what I chose.
That's a nice little nuance that you, I've never heard you articulate before. How did you just say it? It's a win, right?
Yeah.
And success breeds success, and confidence breeds more confidence. And at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to protect our confidence in ourselves to follow through on our commitments.
And the whole thing with biting off more than you can chew, the reason why that doesn't work is because you are seeing failure often. You're missing the gym. You're making up excuses why you can't go. You're eating something that you don't want to eat. You're seeing failure so often, it becomes so uncomfortable that you can't stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you give up, because who wants to be hitting failure all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be winning as often as possible. So this had me winning every single day for 180 days.
Yep.
And I'm still doing it every day. I'm past 180 at this point.
So a problem that a lot of people have is that they will say, okay, I'm going to make this change. I'm going to start this new habit. But life kind of gets in the way, they forget about it, and before you know it, they're being inconsistent, and a lot of times they just let go of it altogether. How are you able to stick to this every single day for 180 days?
So it is worth it to mention, I've been in health and fitness for a really long time, and I've built a lot of strategies to help protect my integrity with myself. So, and I also help coach other people. So the things that I use for myself, as well as help coach other people, I first of all try and approach every new challenge with the mindset of, I think you gave me this analogy of like riding a bike at the beginning. And I also think of this kind of like a university or school. At the beginning, you have to study for your exams. You have to spend time working hard, doing your homework, doing your assignments, and it's more stress and it's a little bit more time and it's a little bit more effort. And then eventually you take the exam and you keep the knowledge with you that you've learned from school, like as much as it serves you in your life. It's kind of the same thing with any type of new habit, where at the beginning, it takes more time, it takes more energy, you have to focus, you have to study, you have to do more at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
To eventually, it's just a part of knowledge that you have. It's just a part of, you know, it's just things that you know.
Or not necessarily know, but it's a part of the way you behave.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of you.
The difference between knowing how to do something and living it. And that transition takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. So I think just knowing that can give you some compassion with yourself.
Yeah, I think our first episode ever was the high efficiency habits one. And we go into depth about something called habit gravity and escape velocity, mm-hmm. which is a great frame for understanding how we build and maintain habits.
Yeah, so I always approach it with that kind of a mindset. And then two, the easiest way to not rely on your willpower is to have a plan. And planning sometimes can seem overwhelming or daunting, or like it would take a lot of work, but a good plan actually saves you so much time and energy. It saves you from having to make a decision in the moment where everything in you doesn't want to go to the gym, and everything in you would love to just sit there and work, and everything in you would love to just like go hang out with your friends or go do anything else other than what you've committed to. That resistance is going to come up. Like, just know it's going to come up. So the best way to combat the resistance is to have some type of a plan. For me, for the 180 days, that meant every Sunday, I sat at my Google Calendar and I put 30 minutes in my calendar. That meant no one can schedule a meeting at that time. Like, for me, the calendar is Bible. So like, if it's on the calendar, it's getting done. So putting it in the calendar meant that I was going to do it. That's just how it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
For you, it might be doing it first thing in the morning and making a commitment. You cannot do anything else in the day unless you do it first thing in the morning. And that's like your plan. So you have to plan to wake up at a specific time or go to sleep at a specific time. It could be planning to have an accountability partner, someone that holds you accountable to getting something done and like knows what time you want to do it. Any type of planning ahead of time, like with food, with meal prep. I mean, we all have seen like the million Tupperwares. You could do that, or you could just chop up vegetables ahead of time to make it easier to eat healthier food choices. Mm-hmm. Any type of plan, even if the habit seems super easy to stick to, it's practice creating plans. And it's also like life is going to happen. Even the easiest habit, life is like, I don't want to do this right now. There were so many days where I didn't want to do 30 minutes of movement.
And one of the biggest things that you left out is that you, which helped you through those really uncomfortable times, was you gave yourself a consequence if you didn't mm-hmm. stick to it.
Right.
What was the thought process behind that?
So for me, I was in a stage of my life where I didn't have something necessarily big to run towards. The thing that I was running, like running towards, meaning like a weightlifting competition or something that like was going to motivate me to get to the gym that was close enough that I could stay connected to.
You didn't have like a clear goal.
Right. My goal was just health and longevity. But I'm 29 years old and that like can be seem very far and easy to be like, screw it. Like, I'm not thinking about me, 80-year-old me right now, you know, or 100-year-old me right now. It's easy to disconnect from that. So I didn't have a clear thing that I was running towards. And you encouraged me to have something to run away from. And running away from, meaning I had a consequence that if I missed any of the 180 days, I had to run a marathon. I do not want to run a marathon. It's not something I want to do in my life.
You don't want to run 800 meters.
No, running is just not my favorite thing. I'll do it if I have to. If it comes up in a workout, I'll do it. But I don't like it.
Begrudgingly.
So running a marathon sounds like the worst. So, mm-hmm. And it was run a marathon within 6 months of missing a day. I didn't want to make that happen. And I also have built trust and integrity with myself that if I missed a day, I would actually do it. Yeah. So
this can be a really, really powerful motivator, but you have to make the consequence something that you'll actually do. Mm-hmm. And to really hold yourself accountable to this, you have to share this with other people mm-hmm. because it's so easy to just be sneaky and let yourself off a day or two. But the fact that I knew, you shared it on social media, you were posting about it all the time. If I or anyone saw you not do this, you would be really embarrassed.
I would never live it down if I didn't do the
marathon.
Yeah,
if you didn't do the marathon,
if I didn't do the marathon, I'd never live it down. Yeah, that's the key too. Like a lot of research shows like sharing your goals with people is actually not good enough. Like just sharing the end goal. Like I want to do 180 days of movement. That's not good enough because part of you gets the feeling of accomplishing the goal just by telling it. And that feeling feels so good. Like I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to get a six pack. I want to make the CrossFit Games, like whatever it is. You kind of get a little bit of those feelings like as if you've accomplished it already. Mm-hmm. And then it actually could be demotivating because you've already gotten a little bit of those feelings that you're hoping to get eventually. Mm-hmm. So instead, sharing the details, like sharing how you're going to do it, how it's going to happen, and giving people permission to hold you accountable, that is where accountability really, really works mm-hmm. versus just sharing your goal.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like for you at different stages having this habit?
It was terrible. It was annoying. It was frustrating. It was fun. It was the best part for me. Like there were moments I just didn't want to do it, but I had like making it as easy as possible helped me. Like just doing a 30-minute yoga YouTube video counted. Walking the dog counted. Going for a walk with you, having you hold me accountable. And like on days where I just didn't want to do it and you would be like, let's go for a walk together. Like that was really helpful for me. And just like being nice to myself and not adding to it when mm-hmm. I really wanted to. But at the same time, the coolest part was when I did more than just the 30 minutes of movement. Like I did a hard workout or I did an hour dance class, or sometimes I would go 3 hours of dance in a row. And that felt like, okay, I was winning just doing the 30 minutes. Like that's a win. I was absolutely crushing it if I did extra credit. Mm-hmm. Like, so every time I would do extra credit, I'm like, feeling amazing about myself. Like I'm just like, wow, I'm so amazing, you know? Like I'm not only maintaining my commitment, I'm doing extra. Mm-hmm. And that's not a requirement. And there's no pressure to do the extra. I just wanted to.
Right.
So that's how I felt about it. It was awesome.
Yeah, one of my favorite things that John Berardi, the co-founder of Precision Nutrition, shared with me is that he's really spent a lot of time identifying what's the least amount of time I can spend in every area of my life and still get not optimal results, but get get enough of what I need. So what's the least amount of time I need to spend exercising per week to feel confident about myself? Mm-hmm. What's the most flexible I can be with my diet and still feel like I'm moving towards my goals? Even as far as what's the least amount of time I need to spend with my kids to still feel connected to them? And in all of these things, the goal isn't to spend as little time as possible. The goal is to figure out how much time when life gets in the way, when things are stressful, when an event occurs, what's the least I need to do to still feel in control and feel confident in myself? Mm-hmm. So what's the impact on your life and like other areas as a result of moving 30 minutes a day?
Yeah, so this was definitely a keystone habit for me, meaning that it affected almost all areas of my life. Within the next 6 months, so I started this in October, and then I started really dialing in my nutrition in January and feeling confident in the ability to do that because I had from October to January, I had done 30 minutes of movement a day. So I'd built enough integrity with myself to now like up the game. Like now I'm going to dial in my nutrition. So since October, I've lost like, I think like 15 pounds almost, like between 10 and 15 pounds, depending on the day. Mm-hmm. I feel amazing about my body. My anxiety is reduced. I'm also better at work. You could probably attest to me being kinder.
And way kinder.
I'm kinder. I'm a better wife. I do more around the house, not like with resentment or begrudgingly. Like mm-hmm. I want to be more helpful. I'm kinder at work. I am less stressed.
Way less stressed.
I just have more space. Like I have like a stress meter. So if I'm at like 7 to 10 on stress, then I only have like 3 more points until I'm boiling over and I'm just freaking out. There was probably like 5 points dedicated to feeling uncomfortable with my body, not feeling an integrity with myself, not liking the way I was treating myself. There was so much of that meter that was dedicated to that, that getting that handled, I bought myself so much space to care about other things or to be happy. I bought myself so much more space to fill with positivity. And I just didn't have that space before.
You'll ask me all the time, like, what do you think of my body? And a lot of times I'll be honest and say, you know, I rather you a little thicker sometimes, but I love the person that you are when you love yourself so much that I love your body 10 out of 10 right now.
And for everyone listening, like that is, he loves me. He loves my body in all shapes and sizes.
I do. I just like some thickness.
Oh gosh.
So guys, today I want to challenge you to, if you don't already have this in place, identify what your keystone habit is. So in order to do that, you want to find the lead domino. What habit, if instilled, would make all others easier or completely irrelevant? Which one will have the biggest trickle effect on the rest of your life?
And generally, that's going to be at the bottom of your health and wellness pyramid. And the categories, if you need a good place to start, categories to look at is your attitude. Generally, things that you're in control of. So your attitude, your nutrition, your fitness. Those are 3 huge ones. Attitude, fitness, nutrition, like sleep. Like general hygiene, sleep, fitness, nutrition, attitude, all of those things, those are big categories to look at for the foundation of your pyramid.
The second thing is you want to have some kind of plan for sticking to it. Mm-hmm. One thing that we've mentioned is giving yourself a consequence. Another thing is sharing this new way of being with other people and allowing them to hold yourself accountable. So figure out what works for you and create a plan for actually sticking to it. So identify your keystone habit. Let us know how you're doing on Instagram. You can direct message us, tag us in a post of yours telling us about your keystone habit, or you can email info@workingagainstgravity.com and leave us some feedback.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram @workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.